In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to the term dwell time and why it's important, how a king on a foreign trip was filmed wearing a skimpy little crop top shopping in Germany, what Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter are doing with video, how jihadis are leveraging YouTube, and the reason Bleacher Report is crushing it with video.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hey-o, what is up? What is up? I've really had a lot of interesting news that I've gathered over this week that I've been looking forward to sharing with you. And right now inside of the Wirebuds office, I'm actually going to post a video. I should do a little video of this, but I want you to see where Christo and I are as we're recording this podcast. And in the conference room, which is next to our studio, we're in the studio, in the conference room through the soundproof glass, you can see Strons van der Ploeg, who's our head of video production, reviewing some videos on the big screen and discussing them before we start our next client project. But I'll put that on the show notes page. It'll be interesting for you to see what's going down here in the Wirebuds office behind the scenes while the podcast is being recorded. All right, so interesting story. I saw Vice is reporting that Facebook has blocked users in Thailand from accessing a video that shows the country's king strolling through a Germany shopping mall wearing a tiny little eensy teensy weeny peeny tiny crop top, revealing his distinctive tattoos accompanied with one of his mistresses. Now, the social media titan blocked the video, not because it's obscene or it infringes on its own terms of conditions, but because Thailand's government deemed it insulting to the king and a violation of the country's laws banning criticism of the monarchy. I'll put that on the show notes page. Literally watch this video. And when you see this guy walking through the mall, this crop top is so small. It's probably, well, it's definitely a girl's crop top. But it's probably like a little girl's medium crop top, like purchased out of Thailand's Baby Gap or something. And it's terribly funny to see this guy walking around thinking that he's a monarch and thinking that the Thailand government actually reached out to Facebook to ban it makes it even more interesting. It'll be on the show notes page for episode 86. You know, I'm a marketer deep down in my core. It's been that way my whole life. My fascination with marketing happened at a very early age. My oldest memories of my love for marketing started with logos. My parents had these bed sheets for me, and this might be TMI, but my bed sheets had Major League Baseball, all the different logos of all the teams on it. And I think the Major League Baseball logo is iconic, right? It's just a really cool, iconic red, white, and blue logo, but there's a fine line between iconic and horrible, and it's super thin. Has anybody ever looked at the Major League Baseball logo and saw the duck? Have you ever seen that? There's literally a duck on it. Christo, I'm going to show it to you right now. Hold on for a second. Oh, can you see it on the page?
Once I realized that the duck was there, it's one of those things where, like, now I can't unsee it. So now every time I look at the Major League Baseball logo, I will see a duck now.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate.
Absolutely. You can't get it out of your mind. I'm going to put this duck version of the Major League Baseball logo on the show notes page for this episode. Take a look at it. Let me know what you think. Also, I'm going to put one of my least favorite logos of all time, which is Honor Health. There's Honor Health is a hospital group that's predominantly in the Phoenix metropolitan area. They are not a client of ours, though all their competitors are. And, you know, when I see the logo, it's all off balance. I want you to see it. Tweet your response to me. Please do that. The logo is just crooked because they've just used the wrong tactics when creating it. So anyway, I want to get your feedback on it, and you'll see it on the show notes page of wirebuzz.com/86. I saw this interesting story in TechCrunch. You know, Twitter lost its Thursday night football live streaming rights recently, but it did get its mojo back this week. It announced 16 new content partnerships, including deals with Major League Baseball, the NFL, the PGA Tour, the Players Tribune, the WNBA, huge audience for that, but a bigger audience than for Bloomberg Media, BuzzFeed News, The Verge, Live Nation, IMG Fashion, all of those announced this week, and it's in a story from Adweek. And so this story comes out of TechCrunch, and it's super interesting to me because we're literally watching a convection cycle take place where what used to be hot, television, is now lost its luster, and what now is hot that's risen to the top is social media now being the dominant television networks of our time, and it's happening right now. But really, you want to strip that all down, it's happening around video. Twitter might have killed off its music app, but it's working with the world's top content promoter. Now, this is according to Adweek. Today at the NewsFronts conference in New York, Twitter announced it's partnering with Live Nation to exclusively live stream video concerts. Artists including Train and Portugal and The Man are all slated to have shows streamed on Twitter. And the first is going to be the Zac Brown Band's performance, which is going to air on May 13th. Now, as for why the deal makes sense for Twitter, Twitter tells me, and when I say me, what they're really doing is this is Adweek's, I'm reading from Adweek. So this deal makes sense because as Twitter reports, 7 out of 10 of the most followed Twitter users are musicians. And Billboard Grammy Awards, live pre-show was the most viewed entertainment live stream on Twitter to date. Quote, our partnership with Twitter allows us to amplify the live music experience, creating tools for artists to reach millions of fans around the world, says Jordan Zachary, Chief Strategy Officer for Live Nation. Blah, 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 blah. The article goes on, but it is interesting that the announcement is part of Twitter's new slate of live premium video content that will include, get this, MTV Awards. I think that's when they give out the Moon Man. Coverage of Fashion Week, where you watch women in very large heels with huge frowns on their faces walking down a runway like super glam. I don't know if you've watched it, Christo, but I'm like glued to this one viral video of runway models in, losing control of their heels. I watched it hysterically. If I find it, I'm going to put it on the show notes page for this episode 86, because once you see these like perfect models looking all, you know, like glamorous, and then you watch their ankles go weak, it's pretty damn funny to see the bowling pins go down. Yes, totally tragic, but hilarious. And Twitter also announced that it's going to produce and host a 24/7 streaming news network with Bloomberg that's going to be airing this fall. Look, it's super important for Twitter to be doing this because Twitter recognizes that financial news is one of those core sectors, core reasons that people go to Twitter for news because they want to be updated. And the financial audience is very large on Twitter. For me, nothing's more boring than watching Bloomberg. So when I read this news in my mind, what I really hear is wah, wah. But good on you, Twitter, for reaching out and creating content around one of your biggest target groups. In the British Sun, a YouTube channel has been targeting boys as young as 14 to become jihadi fighters in Syria. Now, Google's been slammed for hosting the English language of, oh man, a long name that I'll never be able to say, Al-Mahana Hurun channel, which tells lads, and you can tell this is British because who says lads, that they have a religious duty to travel to a war-torn country to fight the disbelievers. And the clips show young foreign fighters bragging about the multiple wives they have and says that they're seeking martyrdom, which is better than football. Really, if you listen to the last episode that I had with Marcus Krieg on how to use longer videos to sell, this is basically what ISIS is doing to create jihadi fighters. They're creating videos. They're creating compelling content that would be appealing to somebody that has that mindset. And they're using YouTube to get their message out. It's an interesting use of video marketing, don't you think? The channel, which launched in December 2015, claims to represent jihadis in Syria, but it's not affiliated with ISIS. Look, good or bad, however you look at the war on terror, that's a you issue. But what's interesting to me is how jihadis are using YouTube as a marketing tool to bring in new recruits. Super fascinating time we're living in, and it's revolving around the power of video as a marketing tool. The National is reporting Twitter is seeking stronger partnerships with media allies in the Middle East as part of a global strategy to increase advertising revenue by offering more live video. I mean, that's what they're screaming for in the Middle East. More live video. The social network service is competing with peers, including Facebook, to increase user engagement by way of exclusive live sports, news, and entertainment video content. Greenberg goes on to say, quote, "We're looking for events that will be valuable and popular within the local market. And a lot of this is about getting the rights to it and working with the right partner and making sure that we can make a unique viewing experience. We're hoping to sign very soon for the next live production here in the region." Now, Mr. Greenberg said that the consumption of video by users on Twitter and other mobile platforms was higher in the Middle East than in many other regions, making local live video content deals a natural progression for the company. Now, it might be news, it might be sports, it might be entertainment, but as Greenberg said, "I think you'll see more and more of that here on Twitter." Now, I don't believe that Twitter is doing anything sinister, okay, by catering to a Middle Eastern audience. And they should be providing live and local coverage to their audience around the world. And it's good for Twitter to be able to cater to them and to be able to provide them access to information. I mean, candidly, when people have access to honest information or truthful information, leave it up to the people. They'll always make the right decision. Business Insider reported this week that Facebook has warned that its explosive revenue growth is going to slow during mid-2017. So expect more of a focus on opportunities in video and Instagram when the company reports first quarter earnings on Wednesday. While analysts predict that Facebook's revenue is going to grow by 42%, which is almost $8 billion, Facebook is nearing the limit of ads that it can actually run inside of its newsfeed. That's pretty interesting, right? But the good news is that Facebook is promising growth in two key areas, video and Instagram. Now, the reason it's video is because, well, we've already covered that on this podcast, damn it. I've gone over it on almost every episode. People crave video more than anything else. They can't get enough of it. They spend five times longer on Facebook and Instagram when they're watching video. It's that powerful, right? But let me tell you about the Instagram part. The reason Facebook is seeing promising growth in Instagram is when you buy a Facebook ad and you start targeting, like let's say you want to target a population of that's your like perfect target customer. There's a box in there that you need to know about. If you don't check that box to exclude Instagram, like 95% of that ad spend, because Facebook has already reached its limit of ads that it can show, 95% of that ad spend is going to go to Instagram just automatically. So make sure when you get on that box and you're filling out who your target audience is that you exclude an Instagram audience if you're trying to exclusively cater to a Facebook audience. And that's why you're seeing promising growth in not just video, but in Instagram's revenue, because most people don't know that they're pushing the ad spend to Instagram instead of Facebook. Just a little word from the wise. On the video front, Facebook has started to widen its rollout of mid-roll ads, which publishers can sandwich in the middle of their content. Facebook is also ramping up its own slate of original shows. Mark the Big Zuck Zuckerberg, as you know, has called video a mega trend and will eventually provide a tailwind in revenue to the business. Instagram, which recently hit 700 million users, is growing faster than ever. The app is expected to bring in almost $4 billion in revenue this year, according to eMarketer. That's a 106% increase from 2016 and a 12% of the revenue that Facebook has generated worldwide from mobile ad revenue coming into Facebook, right? Now, my question for you, And maybe we don't know this answer, but let's just have a little bit of a conversation. If people are advertising on Facebook, and by default, that ad spend is going over to Instagram, right? It sure looks good on the numbers, right? That Instagram is increasing 106% of, you know, revenue over 2016. That's great and all, but what does it say about the authenticity that Facebook has to its advertisers? You know, most people don't know that's happening, right? And when people get wise to it and they realize they've been blowing money, not hitting their target audience, eventually that's something that can hurt the reputation of a brand like Facebook. Do you see where the disconnect here is? All right, protect yourself. Oh, this is interesting. I saw this in CBS News. You know how we've been getting all these stories, right, of people committing crimes or even committing suicide using Facebook Live? Well, in CBS News, I saw, quote, the alarming video on Facebook Live of a Georgia teenager live streaming her own suicide attempt stayed up long enough to help sheriff deputies save her. Now, it's really interesting. This underscores Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's assertion that keeping such videos online can allow friends and others to intervene in real time and to save lives. Now, the 15-year-old girl took pills, put a plastic bag over her head. It's like hard for me to even say this during her suicide attempt on May 2nd, officials from Bibb County's sheriff office have said. A sheriff sergeant found the girl unresponsive, but with a pulse, and she's expected to recover. Sergeant Linda Howard told CBS that deputies received multiple calls reporting the broadcast, and that Facebook also reached out to the sheriff's office to get help for her. Now, with all the conversation going on about how Facebook is contributing to these crimes, it's about time that we get to see another side of this story. Think about the crimes that get solved. We talked about this last week, right? I grew up in an era where people, you know, crimes would go to court forever and people would deny it, but now they're available. And with live stream, you can actually intervene and go out and help, like this 15-year-old girl who was committing suicide, and look at it as a cry for help as opposed to arriving too late, right? It's about time we hear some positive news coming out of Facebook Live. TubeFilter and Business Insider are reporting that Facebook has made no secret of its goal to pick up a number of long-form shows to deliver to its massive user base. All right, quick pop quiz. How many members or users of Facebook are there in the world? Do you know? If so, tweet me. First person who gets it right is going to shout out. Look, there's a couple of competing numbers. We're going to go by Todd's number, all right? And once I get it, I'll give you a return shout out. But that number, Christo, do you know what that number is? Don't say it out loud. Okay, because I know, all right? Because I report on almost every week on this podcast. A Business Insider report has cited sources who claim that Facebook could announce its first slate of long-form content consisting of 24 series in a total by mid-June. Now, we're recording this in almost mid-May, so a month from now. And Business Insider describes the nature of Facebook's upcoming programming slate as twofold: some long series that are going to aim to resemble top-of-the-line TV shows, while shorter ones with runtimes ranging from 5 to 10 minutes will likely feature lower budgets and daily distribution schedule. You kind of have to have a mixture, right? You can't just have all long form, and especially in a platform like Facebook where people have expected short form. But as we've discussed in past episodes, your content type will always be dictated by what your goals are. So your goals will dictate your strategy. Your strategy will dictate your content type. It's just that simple. So what are Facebook's goals? Well, Facebook wants to steal away dollars from television, advertising dollars. It's the same thing that Twitter's trying to do right now, right? And the only way they can do that is to demonstrate that eyeballs stay on Facebook for a long enough time that advertisers actually start having this conversation. Whoa, Facebook's got a serious audience, and people have been on that site for just as long as they watch television, right? Facebook needs to make that argument. And That's why they're setting this up with long form and short form. The short form is designed to get people excited and interested. These are just little like appetizers. And at 5 to 10 minutes, they start to train people to watch programming, long form content on Facebook. But then the long shows are designed literally to anchor and to keep people there forever. Okay? We've discussed in past episodes that your goals are always the first thing you do before you create any content. Your goals will dictate your strategy, right? Your strategy will then dictate your content. So we know the goals. Getting more people to be on Facebook longer so it can rival for television ad dollars. That is it. And that's why Facebook's goal, which is really obvious, is to create the right type of content that keeps their audience entertained and on Facebook longer so it can yank away dollars from television. The original programs that Facebook's going to roll out will all be available through Facebook's video tab. The general plan seems to be to use these high-profile, eye-catching shows to draw more traffic to the hub on which they're distributed. And for that reason, Facebook executives use the adjectives like anchor and seed to describe the company's long-form content. Now, quote, the goal is going to be creating some anchor content initially to help people learn that going to the video tab is going to have really interesting content. And it's a great destination where they can explore some of Facebook with the intent to watch videos that they really want to see. All right. Now, this is a quote from Mark Zuckerberg. He mentioned it during the recent earnings call. And I giggled because I didn't remember that when I started reading it, but it's kind of obvious, right? They're going to seed and they're going to anchor with their content to keep people on Facebook longer, thus justifying larger ad dollars. Pretty cool. The adoption of Facebook Live is now happening at a rapid rate. I saw this in the Washington Post. Texas Governor Greg Abbott made an unannounced appearance on Facebook Live Sunday evening to sign a tough bill banning sanctuary cities in the state, thereby avoiding the demonstrations of opponents that were planned for later on in the week. And so it's so fascinating for me to see how municipalities and governors and presidents are using digital. It's really easy to then transfer that as a blueprint and say, how could your business use it? If your business has a new announcement, feel free to release it to your audience. Create an event. Do something. If your CEO is going to be speaking at a conference announcing a new product or service or partnership, live stream it, man, to your audience. Bring people there. The number of people that'll be in the audience will be about 5% of your target audience, whereas 95% of them won't make it there in person. So magnify the experience and increase the number of people that you can impact by doing a live event so they can watch, participate, and even ask questions. Oh, wait a second. It's also on demand, right? Something that the governor wouldn't be. People can watch that as long as they want. They can come in and stumble into it a week later. It would still be relevant. Make sure you use those type of tactics with your own business when you're rolling out new policies, new services, new data, or new information or partnerships. Super cool. Have you seen this LG commercial? It's for LG phones. It's a fishbowl. They take the phone and they're filming goldfish inside of a fishbowl. Now, what makes this so cool is LG, without saying an entire word, is telling you that this phone's waterproof. And it demonstrates it by lowering the phone into the fish. We're watching a film. And it lowers the phone into the fishbowl and then pulls it back out. You're still watching it film. Super cool. It's the power of show, don't tell. And I don't know if I've seen anybody do it in a shorter amount of time, more impactfully than LG did. I'm going to put this video up on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/86 in a minute. I'll give you an easy way to remember 86, but it's a great video. Check it out. All right. I saw this article in Tubular Insights that I want to break down for you. I think it's an important conversation that we have here on this podcast today. This article is written by Bree Brower about Facebook dwell time. Super important. I'm going to share a portion of it with you. She writes, "For years, the success of brand advertisements and content on Facebook was predicated on the idea of engagements. How many clicks the content got, how many comments it received, how many likes it generated, etc. But now there's a relatively new metric on the social media platform that started prioritizing dwell time." Now, I want you to think of this name, dwell, right? What do you do if you're dwelling on something, all right? Facebook has a new metric stat called dwell time. Now, this metric has quickly become one of the top considerations for brands and publishers who want to continue finding success on Facebook. Now, here's the rundown of dwell time and what it means for video content on the social site. Essentially, dwell time is the amount of time a user hovered over a particular post or piece of content in their feed. And it includes users who have both engaged or not engaged with the content. Got it? The longer a particular user keeps their screen frozen on a Facebook video, the longer its dwell time is going to be. For the purpose of this article, we'll assume content refers to any type of video content or ads. Got it? So why does it matter? Well, dwell time is technically a more accurate way to determine whether or not a particular piece of content was impactful, reached its target audience, or had tangible business results regardless of engagements or clicks. In fact, Facebook adopted this type of metric because the site found in 2012 through an ROI study with Datalogix that, quote, more than 90% of offline sales came from people who don't interact with ads during the campaign. Now, this surprising statistic disproves the so-called value of click-throughs, clicks, likes, and similar action-based engagement metrics on Facebook. And the social media site has even called these type of metrics stand-ins. As such, Facebook has been placing more emphasis over the last year on dwell time, as it is a better measure of the effectiveness and helps prove a user's actual interest in the content. This is the opposite of engagement metrics, which can merely reflect behavior patterns, i.e., a user might have a penchant for clicking the like button, but not actually remembering later that they liked it. Got it? Dude, I click. If somebody posts a political comment, doesn't matter if they think like me, I give it a like or a heart or something positive. And I think that's my way of toying with the Facebook algorithm. Don't tell people that I do this because they probably think I support them. But I think that if we all went a little bit rogue on the Facebook algorithm, we'd go a long way to screwing up some of the metrics. But I see something like this on dwell time, it's actually giving me an indicator, right? As a marketer, that the content's impactful to people, that they're evaluating it. And as such, Facebook has been putting more of an emphasis on dwell time. So how does dwell time work? After implementing dwell time, Facebook created three new ad recall metrics for brands running promoted campaigns. I'm going to give you these three, okay? And I know this is dense information. Take a little while to digest. Here are the three. Estimated ad recall lift, okay? The number of people Facebook estimates will remember seeing your ads if they're asked within 2 days. I'm going to do this one more time for you, all right? It's estimated ad recall lift. And what it's doing is it's looking at the number of people Facebook estimates will remember seeing your ad if asked within 2 days, right? That's interesting. The next one is estimated ad recall lift rate. The estimated number of people who will recall your ad divided by the number of people your ad reached. And the third one is cost per estimated ad recall lift. It's a mouthful, right? What it really means is the average cost per additional person Facebook estimates will recall seeing your ad if asked within 2 days, okay? I want to talk a moment about this last one. Cost per estimated ad recall lift, right? What they're really doing is Facebook is looking at the average cost. If you wanted to add another person who will recall seeing your ad 2 days later, all right? And as a marketer, you've got a choice. If you want a you know, a cost per conversion or a cost per impression. And I think this is interesting because it feels like, once again, oh, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Facebook's going to break the mold. They always do. When they're trying to compete against other types of advertising, they will create a new metric system that benefits them. And candidly, the entire rating system that happened with Nielsen or even Arbitron on radio was designed so long ago that it may not even be relevant today. And maybe these new dwell time stats that Facebook's coming up with is more relevant. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt, see how it all shakes out. If you want to get access to this article, it'll be on the show notes page. And then there's a part here about how does dwell time play into your video strategy? I'm going to read a little bit about this. If you're a brand or publisher who's predominantly focused on clicks in the past, you're going to need to reframe the way that you think about your video content strategy. Instead, you should be working towards developing content and ads that your audience members will keep their eyes glued to for longer periods of time. Even if all they do is scroll through their feeds and pause on your video without clicking, all right? Now, make sure you keep a close eye on your metrics so you can see what type of content most resonates with your followers and continue to make more of that, right? The answer is always going to be inside of your analytics. So don't just create content, go back and look to see how your target audience is responding. Now, she goes on to say, for brands who've tried to find a balance between engagements, clicks, and dwell time, there's no reason to stop that practice. All you need to do is adjust it more in favor of dwell time if you want your video to succeed on Facebook from here on, okay? Now, some factors to consider are the effectiveness of images and text that you use and the amount of awareness your audience already has about your brand. Additionally, if your brand is one of the select few looking to start using Facebook's upcoming mid-roll ads, you'll need to make sure that your content is compelling enough to keep users interested beyond the interruption, all right? Clever editing is going to help you a great deal here. So you might want to use something like cliffhangers. And of course, your ability to tell a story and deliver a message will also convince your audience to continue watching through the ad break. Now, if any of you know Bree Brower out there, please drop her a note. Let her know, nicely done on this article. This is an important topic that needs to be discussed. And you can get access to the full article on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/86. Look, an easy way to remember 86 to access the show notes page is a lot of really cool things happened in 1986. Let's see, it was the first time we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s day for the first time. The Reagan administration secretly sold arms to Iran, creating the Iran-Contra arms fiasco. The Challenger space shuttle Discovery blew up on liftoff 73 seconds into flight. I remember I was in school that day. Mike Tyson won his first ever boxing title. He's the youngest heavyweight champion of all time. Oprah Winfrey reigned her show everywhere. Alf and Pee-wee's Playhouse also premiered. Out of Africa was the best picture of the year. A lot of really cool things happened. Even Halley's Comet came around Earth, made a little appearance. It all went down in 1986. An easy way to get access to the show notes for this page is wirebuzz.com/86. All right, my friends, this was a filled episode of video marketing news. I told you what's going down with Twitter and their programming. The latest in Facebook developments, how Facebook is posturing for long-term ad revenue. We also discussed dwell time and Bree Brower's article and the impact that'll have on your content, how the governor of Texas used Facebook Live, even good news with Facebook Live, how it helped save a girl's life. I know, surprising to some who've been listening to this podcast, but yes, the tool can also be used for good. Remember, Facebook Live is a tool. It's an inanimate object. It's not positive or negative. It's like water. You can do great things with water. You can grow crops that'll sustain life, or you can drown something in water. It's really the user that determines if it's positive or negative. And as such, Facebook Live is not a negative tool. It's just who uses it. Speaking of which, YouTube isn't a positive or a negative tool. And candidly, there are jihadis that are using YouTube. And we talked about that to help recruit young kids into the fight. And we also discussed how Twitter's rolling out a bunch of new programs. And most importantly, we discussed how the King of Thailand rocks a little mini crop top in the mall in Germany, and how Thailand suppressed, with Facebook support, that video for ever getting out to the people in Thailand. Really interesting news. I hope it helps you advance your cause, learn more about video marketing, and amplify your results. And I will continue to do my job behind the scenes to bring you the latest information. If you go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, hit the subscribe button. We'll send you the latest episodes direct to your mobile device so you can do what I do, go to the gym, and rock out while you're listening and learning more about your industry so you could be a better video marketing master.